Pray, Lord, we thank you for your word, the truth. Your word is the truth that we need to change our hearts, to equip us, and to train us to godliness and righteousness. So, Father, as we open it this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take what belongs to Father and teach our hearts and cause our hearts to obey these your words we're going to be reading this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, I began to talk about rediscovering the true meaning and purpose of the doctrine of baptism. You know, we're talking about baptism. And my wish this morning is that everyone is baptized in water. Because once you give your life to the Lord, you must be baptized in water. If you say you want to follow Jesus and you don't engage in baptism, something is missing. Because baptism, what does it do? Baptism create this, it's like you commit a believer who's baptized is fully committed to Jesus. All right, we talked about that last week. We talked about the Greek word. And I listened to it last week. It felt like, I'm like, man, I hope it wasn't too theological because it was a study. I usually preach my teaching, but last week I felt like it was really good. I covered Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 where it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle of Christ, let us go on perfection. That means let us grow to maturity. We don't have to lay the foundation again to go around and talk about repentance of dead works. Let's not talk about the laying of hands. And then, of course, let's not talk about the doctrine of baptisms, meaning there are two baptisms. Baptism, right? Baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 says, I baptize you with water, those who repent of their sins to turn to God. So when you turn to God, you baptize in water. That's a sign that shows, hey, I've been delivered. Now I'm fully committed to Jesus. But John the Baptist went on saying, but there's someone else coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you in water, in the Holy Spirit, and fire. Everybody say fire. Fire. You see, now, fire does not necessarily mean the hell. There's interpretation out there that says, yeah, there's going to be a baptism of fire for everybody who hasn't repented of their sin. If they get caught, if the rapture caught them out there, or death comes without them submitting their life to Jesus, they will be baptized in fire for eternity. But also, this fire here, John the Baptist is talking about, it's talking about purity. See, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the fire of God purifies you. The fire of God gives you, it's pretty much purification, you know? So we also talked about last week, baptism in water also means fully immersed. And then I stopped at water baptism in the name of Jesus. And I said this morning I want to cover a little bit the, what's the word they use? You know, there is something going out there. Some people say if you baptize in the name of Jesus, and when you were baptizing, they didn't say I baptize you in the name of Father, Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you need to rebaptize. Or if you, when you were baptizing, if you weren't wearing white clothing with, I don't know, whatever else they put in there, you weren't baptized. See, to understand Jesus' teaching on baptism, and even the Apostle Paul teaching on baptism, you must spend a lot of time in the book of Acts. I don't know, a couple months ago, we studied the book of Acts. And I encourage you, if you haven't recently read the book of Acts, go back to the book of Acts. There's tons of stories there in the book of Acts. This is a verse from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. You see, the problem, one of the reasons a lot of people choose to use the name of Jesus Christ instead of I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Spirit, it's because they find a lot of examples in the book of Acts. Now let's watch it. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 and 16. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And they asked them, who, when they had come down, prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit? For as yet he had fallen up none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? They have not received. The apostles heard the gospel spread in Samaria. And then they sent two of them, Peter and John. And then when Peter and John got there, they were talking about the Holy Spirit. And the people said, well, what's the Holy Spirit you're talking about? We haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And then he asked them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They're like, what is that? Surprisingly, there are a lot of believers nowadays. They have no idea what the Holy Spirit is. When they think about Pentecostal, they think, spooky, you know. And some people are like, I don't want this. They see people falling on the floor. Now, I'm not judging that. I believe somebody can fall in the Spirit. Oh, I believe that. I've seen it. Sometimes in my walk, a couple times in my doing worship, or depending on what the service is like, I felt like I was going to fall in the Spirit. But remember, the Holy Spirit is not an evil spirit. It's not Jezebel's spirit. The Holy Spirit is not, they call it in Haiti, Ogufirai. It's an evil spirit that comes and possesses people. Here in America, they also have Ogufirai. They have Jezebel spirit. People are also possessed with evil spirit. Have you ever seen someone who's possessed? Oh yeah, all the time. If you watch, even in the store sometimes, you can see possessed people. Here. You see, when you're possessed by an evil spirit, you pretty much out of control. You really don't know what you're doing. See, the Holy Spirit is not like that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you still have your self-control. I can, in a worship service like today, each of you has the willpower to shout, hallelujah, yes, woo, Jesus is good, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus is awesome, isn't it? We all have the same ability to do that. Just like some of you are fine to say, amen. Others fine to say, amen, that's good. You see, because the Holy Spirit is not going to come and force himself on anybody. Because you're quiet or you chill, that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you see somebody out there, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the... You see what I'm saying? You see the difference? The Holy Spirit won't ever come on you to force you to do anything. There is so much. What do you want? How far do you want to go? And that's what John Baptist is saying. He's like, in Acts, when the disciple heard Samaria received the gospel, they sent John and Peter to them asking them, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? Guys, there is no life without the Holy Spirit. A church without the Holy Spirit is a dead church, is a dry church. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is joy. You cannot live your Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Can I have a witness? So you not possess, you feel. And therefore, we talk more about that. There's another verse, Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Actually, yeah, I read that. Acts chapter 10, verse 47. The story of Cornelius. Cornelius received a vision, and the Lord told Cornelius to send for Peter. At the same time, Peter was upstairs on a flat roof praying. The Holy Spirit told Peter, somebody is coming for you. Go with them. Okay, long story short, you read it, Acts chapter 10. Peter went with those guys, went to Cornelius' house. When he got there, he's like, okay, so what's up? You sent for me, what's going on? And then Cornelius told him, hey, you know, I was just in prayer, and then the Lord told me to send for you. So here we are. Tell us everything he's got for you to tell us. While Peter was speaking, they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, you could be Baptist, you could be whatever your background is. Let's not mention any name. But whatever your background is, everyone in the Bible who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, there is always an evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, okay, sure. That's your thing. But when I read the Bible, I believe, one, now it's not the only physical evidence, because I have seen people who speak in tongues, sing in tongues, jump up and down, fall in the spirit, who lack no self-control. They have no power. This is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You have to go there. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. The word power means dynamite. Boom. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you would be like, boom, explode. That's what's going to happen to you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become this bubble of power. You become this bubble of boldness. You're like, you know, you're not afraid anymore. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So Peter was talking to them, and all of a sudden, boom! And I don't know, maybe Peter got to a place where he was just praying. I've seen it many times in our ministry school sessions. You know, there's a session, and you're just talking about the Holy Spirit, and people wants it. The heart wants it. And all of a sudden, people that haven't, even last week, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I was teaching on the Holy Spirit on Zoom. I'm on Zoom. And we just started praying. And I'm telling you this, guys. We're being reminded of the true meaning and the purpose for baptism. And among baptism, we're talking about water baptism. All of you, I'm assuming, if you haven't baptized in water, please talk to me. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You must want that. If you don't know what it is, please do your research. Or I've got a couple sermons on our website about that already. But we're going to keep talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. While Peter was talking, they were all filled. And then verse 47 says, can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 19 verse 3. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. According to Matthew chapter 3, you know what John's baptism is. John's baptism is baptism of repentance. Then Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. However, all these verses, Acts chapter 19, Acts 10, Acts 8, Acts 2, and many other verses in the book of Acts could really be in contradiction with Matthew 28 verse 9. This is what Matthew 28 verse 9 says. It says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in whose name? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what's going on out there? Why all of a sudden Jesus went to heaven, blew on the disciple the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit, the church started, and then all of a sudden You won't find in the book of Acts anywhere that the disciple baptized someone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does that mean we shouldn't baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? No. This is what happened. And I love this. Jesus gave the commission to the apostles in Matthew 28. But what the disciple understood was, this is it. I love this. Baptizing people in the name of Jesus is literally mean baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot separate these three guys. I mean, it's crazy. I did some research two weeks ago. There's a huge discussion. People even create religion saying, unless you baptize in the name of the Father, you're not baptized. But what they fail to understand, the Father means Jesus. Jesus means the Father. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 2. For in him dwells all the fullness of the goodness of God. Wow. Jesus is God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you cannot separate them. The disciples understood that Jesus is the fullness of God. So therefore, they didn't bother to, oh, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Too much word. They're like, man, be baptized. I baptize you in the name of Jesus. I baptize you in the name of the Lord. And then we've got a bunch of people that, you know, wants to create doctrines. And they're like, oh, you see, these verses in the book of Acts, here we have seven verses, you know, seven. Oh, seven, pick number two, my Lord. Seven verses, seven. Here you have seven verses in the book of Acts talking about the disciples baptizing people in the name of the Lord. And then people take those seven verses and create a doctrine saying, unless you baptize in the name of the Lord, you're not baptized. Your baptism is worthless. My counsel to all of us today, let us not get into all that. Jesus is God. God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you can't separate them. That's why the Bible says no one who knows Christ will never curse the Holy Spirit. You know, when you meet Jesus according to the word, Jesus will introduce you to the Holy Spirit. You're going to want the Holy Spirit. That's why I say we are a spirit-filled church. Now, I have talked to you guys what it means to be spirit-filled, you know? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We give the Holy Spirit room. I'm a spirit-filled believer. I live my life by the Holy Spirit. We're lost without the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Everybody's still with me. That's good. Listen to what it says in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. God says, I will bring that group through the fire and make them pure. See, this was a prophecy talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, he will purify our hearts. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. Amen. That's so good. So, thank God for the priests and the preachers, the church leadership and stuff. But you don't need to go through anybody to find God. You know, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes our mind wants... We want to make it so hard for us. When the Holy Spirit came to really free our mind, free us from the law of sin and religion, he says, I will answer them. I will say, these are my people. God is saying, you my people. And then they will say, the Lord is my God. So please, do not get caught up on whether people should be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Father, or the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when I baptize people, I actually do it for fun. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. We teach that in baptism class. And these are the verses I want to cover to finish with. Our baptism means we were dead with Christ, right? Fully immersed. But then we didn't stay there, right? we came back out of the water. So therefore, we are alive in Christ. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's go. I think we're going to have it on the screen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. So after you get baptized, that's why Jesus said, go to all the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe, baptize them. Okay? Immerse, come out of the water, and then teach them how to observe the commandment of Christ. And it says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, just like as you have accepted Christ, you must follow Christ. Because it's not enough to just accept Christ. You must follow him. And in this context, following Christ means let Christ be your Lord. Are you following Christ? And it doesn't stop here. It says, verse 7, let your roots grow down into him. What does that mean? Spiritual growth. You must grow spiritually. You know, a very common example. You know, when you have a baby in a family, you don't just have the baby and put the baby in a room. That baby will die, right? The baby don't do like the independent kind of thing. It can't. It will die. Same thing spiritually. When you're born spiritually, you need a family. You need a community. You need milk, you know. And before you know it, you start eating mashed potatoes. And then before you know it, you want French fries, right? Right? And then after French fries, you want ketchup on it and all that stuff. And then you start eating mature food, right? Verse 7 says, let your root go down into him and let your lives be built on him. Who? Jesus. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking. And how would that happen? How would you be in a position to not let anyone like this capture you with empty philosophies? How would you know empty philosophies from the truth? By knowing the truth. Because the truth will set you free. So therefore, that's why it's so important to read the Bible for yourself. To be in a Bible-believing community, home groups, or, you know, friends. Read it for yourself so you know when empty philosophies... I'll tell you, there's a lot of empty philosophies out there. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking, from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. Verse 9, for in Christ live all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Jesus, with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. This tells you when we were baptized, we were circumcised. And what happened? The flesh, our body died. Now remember, we're not talking about perfection, right? As long as we're still in this body, we will face challenges with sin and perfection. But I live by the Spirit. The more I live by the Spirit, the less I accomplish the desire of this flesh, right? Amen? Verse 12 says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. There it is. And with him you were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. Can I have a witness with this? God, and that's what we sang earlier. I come alive. You know? Maker of heaven and earth. I come alive in you. I'm alive because I'm alive in you, and it's all because of Jesus. I'm alive. This is what we're talking about here. Colossians chapter 3, verse, what is the verse? It says, in him we come alive. Verse 13. Then God made you alive in Christ. Are you alive in Christ? You know, when you go to place, whatever the situation is, You look for opportunity to bring life. See, the enemy wants to keep us crippled spiritually. The enemy wants to keep you on crutches spiritually. You know, when you're on crutches, you can't help somebody else. That's not what God wants for you. God wants maturity for you. God wants you to grow to the level where, man, you become mature. You see, the problem with our society, children are having children. Immature people, I should say. Immature people are having kids. And what happens when immature people are having kids? I mean, immature person is very selfish. They're not ready to give themselves selflessly. Oh, this is good. It gets better, I tell you. Verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So whatever is challenging you, I want you to live your Christian life with this mindset. There's nothing that can overpower you as long as you remain in Christ. Nothing. Because the battle have already been won. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers. Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory. See, when you were baptized, dead with Christ, come alive, you get to partake in everything Jesus is. Come on, guys. Listen to this. His divine power giving you everything you need. Every time the Bible make reference of God's divine power, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. I pray as we talk about baptism, you really get to fall in love, come to fall in love with the Holy Spirit. To realize, man, Jesus is good. But man, Jesus says, I must go. Because if I don't go, my Father won't send you the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. My Father won't send it. And what Jesus represented to the disciples, physically, his physical presence in the disciples' life. That's what the Holy Spirit is to you and I. Verse 16. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for celebrating certain holidays, or new moon ceremonies, or Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Because you're alive in Christ, don't let anyone, what's that word? Condemn you. For what you drink, or for what you eat. I won't get into these verses. There's so much there. Let's just take the word for what it is. Jesus set us free. Don't let anyone condemn you. You are alive in him, so therefore you're growing in the wisdom of Christ. Don't let anyone condemn you about a bunch of rules. Don't eat this. Don't do that. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. Don't drink this. Don't drink that. Now, this verse here is not giving us a license to go and live however we want to. Because somebody could be like, oh, this is the verse I've been looking for. Oh, my goodness. This is it. Oh, my Lord. Lord, man, I am so glad I made it to church today. No. Don't let anyone condemn you. This is not the license to go and do the things you must not do. These rules are only a shadow of the reality to come. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pure self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected with Christ. Now, you must understand, when someone is connected with Christ, it sets you free. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we won't go there. It says, am I not free to do everything I want? Oh, I'm free to drink a six-pack. I mean, I don't. I don't think I can. But I'm free to do it. But guess what? I'm not going to drink a six-pack. I'm free to sit around and enjoy myself a nice glass of wine. But at the same time, I am free to say, guess what? I'm not drinking. Right? Yeah. I am free to do it, but I'm free to choose I'm not doing it. That's why sometimes, you know what it says in Galatians chapter 5, the Holy Spirit gives self-control. Sometimes, I know, back in the days when I used to be like immature spiritually, sometimes I wish the verse would have said, the Holy Spirit comes and control you. Because sometimes I'd be like, well, you know, God, you really set me free from that smoking addiction. Well, you know how you're going to set free? The moment you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that smoking is not good for your lungs. And then you're like, oh, man, I want to honor God with my body. That's that revelation in itself. And when you go through tough time, when you feel stress, instead of going to the bottle to drink, you go to Jesus. That's it, right? Right? Instead of going to take drugs, guess what? I'm going to the source because, man, if not all of us, we've all tried it. It doesn't help. The end result is never permanent. But when I go to Jesus, when I go to the Holy Spirit, man, I tell you, there's nothing like it. Verse 18, don't let anyone condemn you. Actually, I'm going to jump to 19. And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Verse 20. You have died with Christ. Now, remember, I'm talking about baptism, fully immersed. But then you're underwater, you come alive. Okay? So we had a good example with Tony last week. He got baptized. You know, it's amazing. And then he came out of the water. That's awesome. And the Bible's saying, you have died. I have died with Christ. And he has set you free from spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. You know, I don't want to mention any religion or whatever, but I remember when I was growing up, maybe I told you this already, my mother used to tell me I cannot pray without a shirt on. I didn't know. But my mom's like, when you pray, you need to have a shirt on, because then if you don't have your shirt on, the Holy Spirit will kind of poop out of you. You know, the Holy Spirit will be like, puff out of you. That's religion. But then I also, my brother watches this. My brother will remember. My mom, every night, thank God, God bless her, she would get us to read the Bible. And we read Psalm, you know, bless the Lord, whatever Psalm she would choose for us to read. And I remember, me as the oldest, I would read, my mom, my dad wasn't part of it, and we would read the Bible. And then when we're done reading, and she would get us to pray, Lord, whatever, thank you, whatever, we pray. And then she had two booms. Booms. She had me get two booms and cross them in front of the door with a pen upside down, the front door of the house. That's voodoo. I just read Psalm. But then, I mean, you know, I'm a kid. I had no idea. I'm just obeying mama. Yeah. But I did the rules. She grew up religious. But she also understood, after she prayed, she had to cross the booms in front of the door to keep evil spirit outside of the house at night. Because, that, you know, the older I got, I went and researched that, and that's one of the things they do. You know, you could go to a witch doctor, and the witch doctor give you this formula. You got to hang things in front of your door or cross a boom a broom, two brooms in front of your door with a pen, a special pen the rich doctor give you in front of your door. I did that every night for years. I had no idea what I was doing. That's what it's talking about here. Sometimes we want to follow a bunch of wolves, even coming to church. Some people actually come to church because they're like, oh, I've done my dues. Oh, here's $500 in tithe. I've paid God now. I'm all good. You know those people? Never go to church, but man, they tithe. They give thousands of dollars to charity, to ministries. Because by doing so, they think they're buying their way to God. Impossible. You buy your way to God by living an obedient heart, an obedient life. You live obediently to Jesus. You obey His word. You surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. I don't know whatever rules you grew up with. I mean, the other rule I knew of, you don't go in the church with shorts because God dwell here. God dwells here, God dwells here, and everybody that comes before God must know that God is a holy God. So when you come, you must be like this. That's so stupid. Thank God for freedom. Can somebody help me out? Thank God for freedom. It is for freedom you've been called, my brothers and sisters. Don't let anybody entangling you anymore. It is for freedom you've been called. Don't let anybody put you under a yoke of slavery. And this is the verse. This rule seems wise, but they provide no help in conquering a personal evil desires. Wow. They provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. You know what does conquer a person's evil desires? The Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to stop it right here and let you dwell on that. And then next week I'll continue with the Holy Spirit baptism. You know, I don't know what rules you grew up in, but this would be a good opportunity to let things go, right? Let whatever rules, religion, you know, as we talk about baptism, if you were baptized in water, be reminded again what it was about. Amen?